Well, we've just sung it this morning, Redeemed, and you probably know who wrote that hymn, or if I tell you the writer of the hymn, you recognize the name, Fanny Crosby. And no doubt as Fanny was composing or writing the words to this hymn, there's no doubt in my mind she was praising the Lord for her redemption. And as we just sang those words that Fanny Crosby had written, we can sing joyfully along with her about our redemption in Jesus Christ. Do you love to proclaim your redemption this morning? Have you been redeemed by Jesus Christ? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you His child this morning? If you're His child, if you have been redeemed, then you have a great reason to sing praise to our God. If you've been redeemed, you should love to proclaim it. You should be rejoicing about the great thing that God has done for you. This morning, it's our desire to focus on the greatness of our redemption in Jesus Christ. It is a marvelous redemption. And I think all of us realize why it is so important, but let's just refresh our memories. Why is our redemption so important? Why is it so special? And this morning we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 17 and following. And as we look at this passage this morning, we're going to recognize at least three reasons why our redemption is wonderfully incredible. Why is it? It's because the price that has been paid. It's not a price that has been paid by anything that's perishable like silver or gold. No, it's something much more precious than that. When we were redeemed, we were redeemed from a life of sinful futility. When we were redeemed, we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I invite you this morning to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. And if you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1391. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 17 and following. And follow along as I read, and here the Apostle Peter says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." When we talk about redemption this morning, we're talking about the setting of someone or the setting of something free by the payment of a price. And as we think of redemption and how we use it in our everyday vocabulary, how do we usually use that word redemption or redeemed? And maybe for us this isn't a good question because we know about the redemption we have in Christ. But if you're to go out on the streets of Des Moines and you started talking about redemption or redeeming, what do you think people would maybe think of when you talk about redemption or redeeming? Well, here in the state of Iowa, we have a number of laws, and one of those laws pertains to the redemption of certain cans and bottles. So let's say we go to the grocery store, we go to Casey's here on the corner, and we buy a Pepsi or Mountain Dew, either a can or a bottle. Well, as you buy that, you're not just buying a can of Pepsi or Mountain Dew, you are buying it, but in addition, something's going to be tacked on, right? You have a 5-cent deposit, and the idea is, once you're done drinking that Pepsi or Mountain Dew, then you go back to either a store or a redemption center, and they will pay you back a nickel in return for that plastic bottle or that aluminum can. Maybe that's what a lot of people think of whenever they hear that word redeem or redemption. Well, as we think about redemption in the Bible and in the days of the Bible, redemption is a much more serious matter. In Bible days, in the days of Peter and of Paul and during the centuries before and after, we have the idea of redemption and even redemption from slavery. We have many people that were slaves, and you could become a slave in any number of ways. There were wars that were fought all the time, and those who were conquered, a lot of times the people of those conquered nations would become slaves to their conquerors, or they'd be sold into slavery. Perhaps you're in debt, and in order to get out of debt, you'd sell yourself to a master in order to pay off that debt. You'd sell yourself into slavery. Many different ways you could become a slave. But if you are a slave, it doesn't mean that you're a slave for the rest of your life. There are ways that you could get out of slavery. And the most common way to get out of slavery, it's a word called manumission. You'd be released by your master. And sometimes your master, if you're a slave, would just, out of the goodness of his heart, would release you. Or maybe there are times when a slave did something honorable or something above and beyond what was required, and the master would release that slave. But many times, in order for a master to release a slave, that master had to receive some type of money, a payment of sorts. And that slave would be freed from slavery. And that payment oftentimes was in the form of silver or gold coins. Well, as we come to 1 Peter chapter 1, and the recipients of this letter, many of them, I would say all of them, were familiar with slavery and even redemption from slavery. No doubt there were some even that heard the words of this letter as it was first read to the congregation that were slaves themselves or had previously been slaves and then been released. So they were familiar with this concept of redemption from slavery, human slavery. But the redemption of which Peter speaks is a redemption that is so much greater, so much more important than the slavery from than the slavery and the redemption that is involved with human slavery. So the redemption of which Peter speaks, it is special. It's wonderfully incredible. And what makes it so special and wonderfully incredible? Well, as we look at the first part of verse 18 of our passage this morning, redemption is wonderfully incredible because we have been redeemed apart from anything perishable like silver or gold. Now, thinking about our day once again, whenever we go and we buy that Mountain Dew or that Pepsi, that bottle or that can is able to be redeemed by, what, a nickel. Well, is a nickel all that much anymore in today's society? It's not very much, is it? And that's why as you drive down the road, a lot of times you will see discarded Mountain Dew and Pepsi and all different other types of cans because people really don't think all that much of a nickel. It doesn't take much for the Redemption Center to give a nickel for a can or a bottle. So we're not necessarily enthused about that nickel we receive as far as redemption. As we think about Peter's day, redemption from slavery, there's quite a bit more cost involved than just a nickel in our day's money. There'd be a significant amount of money that was paid to redeem a slave from slavery. But yet if there's a rich man that was redeeming a slave, it didn't really set him back all that much to redeem a slave. As Peter talks about redemption in our passage here, Peter isn't necessarily talking about the amount paid in this case, although that comes later on as far as the price that is paid. But he's talking about the nature of the payment. So whether we're talking about a nickel in today's money or whether we're talking about a number of silver or gold coins, all of that has something in common, doesn't it? Whether we're talking about nickels or coins of gold and silver, all of those are perishable, aren't they? They're corruptible. They aren't going to last forever. They're destructible. Now, whenever we talk about silver and gold, we talk about them as they're precious metals, right? We think about them lasting a long time, but they don't last forever, do they? And Peter says, whenever you are redeemed, you are not redeemed with silver or gold. The redemption that God performs through Jesus Christ, it's not something that is performed through silver and gold like human slaves are freed by silver and gold coins. Our redemption is so special is because it's not through something perishable or corruptible. Well, Peter is going to talk about that more later on in verse 19. But before we consider the value of our redemption, and its value is found in the person of Jesus Christ and his death on our behalf, but we want to look at the last part of verse 18, and we'll see something else that makes our redemption wonderfully incredible. Peter said earlier, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but then what does he say? From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Our redemption is wonderfully incredible. Why? Because of that which we were redeemed from or out of. We were redeemed out of a futile way of life, a life that was characterized by sin and wickedness. That's what makes it so wonderful. We were redeemed out of sin. As Peter talks about this redemption and the life that they were redeemed out of, We have this word vain, vain conversation. And that word conversation in the King James has the idea of conduct. And as Peter talked about the way his fellow believers used to live, he characterized it as conduct or behavior that was characterized by futility and emptiness, something that was without profit, without worth. And many of the people that Peter was writing to here, they would have been saved out of paganism, out of idolatry. And the people that had been saved, for generation after generation after generation, they had been taught, this is how you worship. This is how you live your life. You bow down before this idol. You give sacrifices to this idol. You believe in these superstitions. And of course, they wouldn't call them superstitions, but this is how you live. This is how you act. And Peter says, what you've received from your great-grandfather, from your grandfather, from your parents, this is futility. This is a way of life that is meaningless, that is empty, that has no real meaning. The Gentiles were saved. They were redeemed from a futile, sinful way of life. They tried to please the gods. They tried to do good according to what they had been taught. But in fact, they were doing nothing at all that was good. The way they were living was without profit in the grand scheme of things. I'm reminded of what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And then what Paul says in Romans chapter 3 is very powerful, as we're reminded of what we were redeemed from, what we were bought out of. We were, in fact, bought out of the slave market of sin, we could say. And Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 23, what then, are we better than they? No one knows, for we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. So it's not just the Gentiles that have been redeemed out of a futile way of life characterized by sin, but even the Jews have been redeemed out of a futile way of life characterized by sin. Now the details of their behavior differ, but still, they were redeemed out of a life of futility, a life of sin. And it's the same way with us today. Well, what does that life of futility look like? Well, Paul says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And Paul later on says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whenever Peter wrote to his fellow believers, and whenever he talks about the redemption that they have, it's not a redemption that's bought by corruptible coins of silver or gold. It's a redemption that is much more precious than that, much more costly than that, much more enduring. The redemption that Peter is talking about is a redemption from a life of futility and sin. Now, none of Peter's fellow believers before they were saved could have done anything to buy themselves out of the bondage of sin that they were found under. They couldn't do anything about it. They were stuck in that rut. What their grandparents had taught them, what their parents had taught them, they were going to continue on in that way of life unless something happened. And what happened? Jesus is the one who bought them out of that futile way of life. Isn't that incredible? As we look at our lives today, we look at our life before we trusted in Jesus Christ, before we were bought out of our way of life then, that way of life was a life of hopelessness and despair, a life of futility, a life under the bondage of sin. But our redemption has secured freedom from that way of life. Well, how is that redemption procured? Well, as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we come to the verse that is focusing in on this, verse 18 and 19. Yes, we are redeemed from that past way of life, not with silver and gold, but rather, in verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the redemption that we're talking about today. It's not redemption with silver or gold. It's redemption with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about Jesus' blood being the cost of our redemption, it's not that Peter somehow is envisioning just a vial of Jesus' blood. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Whenever Peter talks about Jesus' blood, he's talking about Jesus' very life given for sinners. Jesus is compared to a lamb without blemish and without spot. And in Peter's day and in the days before, there were lambs and there were rams and there were cattle that were offered in the temple. And those animals had to be without blemish. They had to be without spot. They had to be without any type of defect or injury. See, there could be nothing in that lamb or ram or that goat. There could be nothing in that animal that took away from the value of the sacrifice. God wanted the best. He demanded the best. So that there could be no injury, no defect in the animal that was offered as a sacrifice. Well, Jesus, likewise, as he offered himself as a sacrifice to purchase our redemption, there was nothing within his very person that would take away from the value of that sacrifice. He was perfect. He was without sin. He was perfectly holy. And it's because of Jesus' sinless perfection that he is called by John the Baptist the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See, Jesus is the only one, as the sinless Son of God, both God and man, he's the only one that could purchase our redemption. He's the only one that could buy us out of the slavery of sin in the past. Peter goes on to say in verses 20 and 21 concerning Jesus Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. It was God's plan from even before he made this world, before he made the universe, his plan was Jesus would be the sacrifice to pay the redemption price for our sin. Before Adam and Eve ever were created, before they ever fell into sin, it was God's plan. Jesus would be the Redeemer. He would pay the redemption price. That's incredible, isn't it? So we think about, that's God's plan from eternity past. When the time came, the right time came, what happened? God the Son left the glories of heaven. He became man. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. He submitted to the Father's will, and ultimately he submitted to the cross and death on that cross. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? He rose again. He ascended to heaven. He's glorified at God's right hand right now. It's through Jesus that we believe in God. It's through Jesus that we have faith and we have hope. It's all because of the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. So what makes our redemption worth singing about? We just sang about it, right? Why is it so wonderful? Why is it so incredible? Well, it's wonderfully incredible because we have been redeemed apart from anything perishable or incorruptible. We were not bought by any amount of silver or gold. You know, this world cherishes, it places a high value on silver and gold. But our redemption is something so much better than silver or gold. Our redemption is wonderful. Why? Because we have been redeemed from a life of past futility and sin. We no longer have to live like that because Jesus has bought us. He's bought us with his precious blood. And that's really the key as to its preciousness, because Jesus himself, God the Son, laid down his life. He shed his blood so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be purchased. No longer being slaves to sin. Now we are slaves of righteousness, slaves of God himself. The question is this morning, have you personally experienced this redemption in Jesus Christ? Are you able to sing from the heart, along with Fanny Crosby, that we have been redeemed, and we love to proclaim it? We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior? See, there's no number of good works that we could perform that would make us right with God. There's no number of good deeds that we could perform that would make up the price of our redemption from sin. See, it's impossible for us to make ourselves right with God on our own. The only way we can be right with God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price of our sin upon the cross. Not just our sin, but the sin of the whole world. Jesus died for us, he was buried, he rose again. And whoever places their trust in Jesus, depending upon him and on him alone, that person will receive eternal life. Their sins will be forgiven. Have you done that this morning? Have you experienced the redemption that is in Jesus Christ? If you have, may we rejoice together. And even later on, very soon, we're going to rejoice together. We're going to proclaim the death of Jesus Christ. Because it's a life-changing experience, isn't it? To experience salvation in Jesus Christ. That's who we are in Jesus Christ. It's all because of his redemption. Very soon we'll be partaking of the bread and the cup during communion. And the bread symbolizes Christ's own body that was given for us on the cross. That bread is unleavened. And that the fact that it's unleavened, I believe, is symbolizing the fact that Jesus Christ is totally apart from sin. As we partake together of the cup, the fruit of the vine, we realize that juice is symbolizing Christ's shed blood for us. It is only by Christ's shed blood that we have been redeemed from our past life of sin. We want to remember Jesus. We want to proclaim him this morning. Proclaim not only by song, not only by word, but by our actions. What a wonderful thing is our redemption in Jesus Christ. Let us worship him together this morning.